Mandragore. A Paris design firm, Rescubica, has designed and proposed a massive 2,400-foot building for New York City that will trap carbon emissions in the atmosphere. That's taller than the Freedom Tower at One World Trade Center at 1,776 feet. The building was conceived in response to New York City's City of Tomorrow project that aims to make the city carbon neutral by 2050. The project's design was inspired by the Mandrake plant. The proposed structure would be built on Roosevelt Island and East River and is designed as the world's tallest carbon sink, absorbing more greenhouse gas emissions than it emits. Mandragore would have over 160 floors, 36 wind turbines, 1,600 trees, 264,000 square feet of plant walls, a geothermal system for heating and cooling, and 75,000 square feet of solar panels. Each apartment includes a home office to reduce commuting. Mandragore would be largely built with wooden materials. Psychological resilience, biophilic design. Bill Browning's Terrapin Green blog on biophilic design continues to open horizons for me. This month, he writes about psychological resilience. Psychological resilience is the ability to mentally or emotionally cope with a crisis, or to return to a pre-crisis status quickly. He focuses on the need to rebuild after wildfires, notably in Malibu, California, having mercilessly wiped out homes and communities. How can residents return to these sites and feel safe without negative effects or stressors? Bill and I were colleagues at Rocky Mountain Institute some years ago. He and his firm, Terrapin Green, have been focused on the rebuild in Malibu after the devastating Woolsey Fire that took 97,000 acres and 1,643 homes and buildings in 2018. Bill states that the job then was to affordably build energy-efficient and disaster-resilient homes. And now, upon reflection, he writes that the challenge really is greater. Homes must be designed that also address psychological resilience. Bill's experience is that a primary hurdle of rebuilders, those trying to get back to normal, is the psychological trauma. Some have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as a result of losing their homes and all their belongings, in cases loved ones. Thus, their challenge is not just to physically rebuild, but to build back with their own resilience. Some of this is done with counseling. The Malibu Foundation has been offering counseling services to rebuilders there. Bill says that his biophilic design specialty, increasing the connectivity to the natural environment, can be part of the path to the psychological resilience. Finding a way to form a reconnection to place and one's surroundings can play a powerful part in the healing process. Biophilic design might include the selection of grounding natural materials. It might encompass landscaping that creates a savanna-like setting around a house. It might manifest in designing spaces that offer emotional refuge. Typically, when one's back is protected and there is cover overhead. People like nooks. People like to cocoon at home. Bill closes by writing that biophilic design can support the psychological well-being of people dealing with post-disaster stress. In this period of pandemic, psychological resilience may well be important for us all. Tiny home. U.S. homes are generally the world's largest, and they've been growing in size. In 1973, the average new home was 1,660 square feet. By 2017, that size had grown to 2,631 square feet, a 63% increase. This spells increased energy use and greenhouse gas footprint, and a host of other impacts, such as reducing green space and, in turn, habitat, biodiversity. At the other end of the spectrum are tiny houses. They are exploding in popularity and are marked by ship-like innovation in compact living. They typically measure under 400 square feet. Advocates note that tiny house residents focus on quality, not quantity. In fact, studies have shown that residents' behaviors change. In one study, downsizers cut their ecological footprints by 45%. IKEA has partnered with Vox Creative and tiny home builder Escape to produce a tiny house on wheels. It's 187 square feet in size, built as a trailer, and is topped with solar panels. It has whitewashed interior wall panels made of sustainably grown pine, and cupboards made from recycled bottle tops. It has a compostable toilet, and an on-demand hot water heater. The home allows for off-the-grid living, zero pollution, except when being towed. Models start at $47,550. Here's another application. The city of Redondo Beach is experimenting with providing pallet homes to people experiencing homelessness. It's an ideal from a Seattle company that makes industrial pallets. The tiny 8x8-foot cabins were initially designed for disaster relief after Hurricane Katrina. They are made to store flat and assemble quickly. Each unit has bunk beds, shelves, heating, air conditioning, and electric outlets. They're made of aluminum so they won't rust and can be easily sanitized between users. Riverside County, California has installed 30 pallet homes. Residents are reportedly deeply grateful to have such fundamentals as a door and lock. Redondo Beach has located its 15 pallet homes. The city will also provide counseling services to the residents there, as well as toilet and shower facilities. Repurposing power plants. It wasn't too many years ago that coal was the dominant source of electrical generating capacity in the United States. In the year 2000, coal still powered 50% of U.S. electrical generation. In simplest terms, there were about 500 large coal-burning power plants nationwide generating half our power. Coal has been mined in 25 of the 50 states. The Energy Information Administration reported in 2019 that 241 coal plants are still operating. 290 plants had been closed since 2010, largely due to lower cost and cleaner natural gas. Sierra Club updates the EIA data. Its Beyond Coal campaign reports that there are 339 plants now that are down. That's 180,890 megawatts of coal-fired capacity shut down. There are still 191 U.S. coal plants generating power. So, what to do with an outdated coal plant? Many have been converted to natural gas, but the story is more colorful. Beloit College took a former Alliant Energy coal-fired power plant and turned it into a student union and recreation center. The old plant, now named the Powerhouse, is situated on the bank of the Rock River and houses a swimming pool, indoor track, cafe, meeting rooms, fitness space, lecture hall, and field house. In Massachusetts, a 1,600-megawatt coal plant is being demolished to make way for a logistical port and support center for wind turbines expected to be erected 35 miles offshore. A plant in Missouri is shopping proposals for repurposing, potentially a battery storage center or a biofuels manufacturing site. There's a company in St. Louis, Environmental Liability Transfer, that specializes in taking properties with environmental challenges and redeveloping them. It has purchased 7 shuttered coal plants. It specializes in finding ways of reusing built infrastructure, like access to rail, ports, and waterways. Electrical infrastructure has value too. Data centers use tremendous amounts of power and are now repurposing retired coal plants. In 2015, Google announced that it would buy the 1.6 gigawatt Widows Creek coal-fired power plant located 4.8 miles from Stevenson, Alabama. The plant was recently retired and had been operated by the Tennessee Valley Authority, the TVA, generating 9 billion kilowatt hours annually. It was known for having one of the tallest chimneys in the world at 1,001 feet. The smokestack was built in 1997 and removed in a controlled demolition in 2020. Google announced that it would invest $600 million in the plant, retooling the existing power infrastructure and converting the plant into a data center. The project broke ground in 2018, tapping into the transformers, the power lines, and other equipment to bring clean power on site. Google will use river water to provide cooling to the servers. In 2019, Google announced that it had reached a deal with TVA to purchase the output of several new solar farms, a combined 413 megawatts of power, 1.6 million solar panels. The deal committed Google to a $5 billion investment in renewable energy in the form of a power purchase agreement. Quite a reversal. Clean power coming in versus decades of the dirtiest electricity generation going out. In Ithaca, New York, owners of the Cayuga power plant announced that instead of overhauling the coal plant with natural gas, they were considering a shift to hosting a solar-powered data center. Another data center is planned for the Somerset Operating Company's 586-megawatt coal plant on the shore of Lake Ontario near Buffalo, New York. Plans are underway to convert 9 shuttered coal plants in Pennsylvania. One is the Sunbury Generation Plant, now partially demolished. Possible uses include a data center, warehouse, and grow house. But converting these plants is not always a walk in the woods. Experts point out that these plants sometimes come with big challenges, like ponds of coal ash, a hazardous residue from the burning of coal. In related news, the Duane Arnold Energy Center in eastern Iowa is the site of a now idle nuclear plant. Now the site will soon host a 690-megawatt solar farm. The 615-megawatt nuclear plant was 45 years old and slated to be decommissioned in 2022. A severe storm shut the facility a few months early. NextEra Energy of Florida will build the solar on 3,500 acres of land surrounding the plant. It will also install 60 megawatts of batteries for power storage. The project will cost $700 million, will provide 300 construction jobs, and is slated to come online in 2023. NextEra Energy Resources currently has ownership interests in 3,160 megawatts of operating solar projects in 27 states. Constructing the Loop in Vegas. The project began in 2019 at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Now tunnels, lights, action. The Loop has been built by Elon Musk's Boring Company. It cost $47 million to build, fixed pricing. 4 mini tunnels, 1.7 miles in length, bored with the Godot tunnel boring machine. 40 feet below the convention center, it was built in just over a year with zero road closures. Even with the convention center in full swing pre-COVID, there were reportedly zero attendee disturbances. And now convention goers can be whisked from one end of the convention center to the other in 2 minutes. 62 electric cars, Teslas of course, and soon to be autonomous, will shuttle passengers. The system will serve 4,400 riders per hour. But wait, Musk is not stopping there. The Boring Company is planning to expand the tunnel system to Vegas's resorts and even to the airport. The entire system up and down the strip has been planned and submitted to the city. The Boring Company is promoting it as a completely different travel experience, Disney-like. The World of Concrete will be the first major convention event to use the Loop this coming June. Helsinki's offshore thermal energy storage concept. The city of Helsinki plans to be carbon neutral by 2035. It has a goal of decarbonizing its district heating system by 2030. That's not easy. It's cold there, and the heating demand is intense. There are no obvious solutions. So the city developed the Helsinki Energy Challenge. It offered a €1 million reward for anyone to come up with a viable alternative to fossil fuel use for heating the city's hundreds of thousands of homes and buildings. One of the competition's winners is called Helsinki's Hot Heart. It's pretty far out, a vision of 10 floating reservoirs off the city's coast that would store heat in seawater. The design even has a recreational angle. 4 of the 10 reservoirs would have partially open roofs and would be open to visitors, featuring tropical plants and heated swimming pools. Here's how it would work. Renewable electricity would be used to run heat pumps to heat the seawater and store it in the floating reservoirs. When heat is needed, it would be sent to Helsinki's district heating system, an existing network, toured by EcoMotion years ago, that provides hot water for household heating throughout the city. This is a type of thermal storage at an unprecedented scale. It could potentially be used by any coastal community facing sea, lakes, or rivers. The architect, Carl Roddy, explains that water efficiently stores heat. It is also easy to store seawater in basins in the sea because the water inside has similar pressure to the water outside, simplifying the structural requirements for construction. In related floating news, Singapore is now home to one of the world's largest floating solar arrays. The 5-megawatt array will produce 6 million kilowatt hours annually, offsetting 4,258 tons of carbon dioxide.
The Sunseep Group launched the solar farm in the Strait of Johor off Woodlands. It is made up of 13,312 panels, 40 inverters, and more than 30,000 floats. Setting records, fuel cell vehicles. Toyota Mirai sets the world record range for a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, 623 miles. Then within 5 minutes of fueling, it was ready to go another 600 plus miles. The Mirai broke the previous fuel cell record by a long shot. It had been held by Hyundai Nexo, which registered 484 miles. Note that last year, the Hyundai Kona set the electric vehicle range record with 630 miles of range on a single charge. New Model S Plaid, the quarter mile. Tesla's Model S Plaid just broke a new production car land speed record. It hit 152 miles per hour in a quarter mile in just 9.34 seconds at the Formosa Raceway in Bakersfield, California. The previous record was held by a Bugatti Chiron Sport. The Tesla Model S Plaid can go from 0 to 60 in 1.99 seconds and can reach a top speed of 200 miles per hour. First autonomous container ship. The Jaeger Birkeland is the world's first net-zero, battery-powered, autonomous container ship. It was delivered to the Norwegian fertilizer company Yara Norg AS in 2020. In 2020, it sailed its maiden voyage, nearly 7 hours from Brevik to Horten. It has 7 megawatt-hours of batteries on board, the equivalent of approximately 100 Tesla Model 3s. It's now undergoing preparations for autonomous operation in late 2021. The use of the container ship will reduce diesel-powered truck transport by 40,000 journeys per year. The Steinway Tower. At 1,428 feet tall and only 60 feet wide, it is the world's skinniest skyscraper in terms of width-to-height ratio. It will be 82 floors tall with a single apartment on each floor. Located at 111 West 57th Street, it's nearly complete. The first 5 floors will contain shared recreation spaces and high-end retail, while the upper 77 floors will house luxury apartments, the highest cost of which lists for $100 million. The project is being built in the courtyard of the historic Steinway Hall, a 96-year-old building that housed a concert hall and piano showrooms for Steinway and Sons. Steinway Hall was sold to developers of 111 West 57th in 2013 and is being refurbished for classic residences. The developers acquired the landmark building and its adjacent lot to build the skyscraper.
Fossil-free steel. SSAB claims to have produced the world's first fossil-free steel, created with green hydrogen instead of coal and coke. The green steel was delivered to the Swedish auto manufacturer Volvo, where it will be used to create prototype electric vehicles. Coal-based steel production accounts for 7 to 9% of global greenhouse gas production. To address this concern, the Swedish hybrid partnership was formed between SSAB, LKAB, and Vattenfall. Hybrid aims to replace coke and coal, traditionally needed for the production of steel, with renewable electricity and hydrogen. It is now making fossil-free steel at its plant in Luleå in northern Sweden. Commercial production is slated to begin in 2026. Using the hybrid steel technology, SSAB expects to cut Sweden's total CO2 emissions by 10% and Finland's total emissions by 7%. According to Inceptive Mind, ArcelorMittal is building a zero-carbon emission steel plant in Sestao, Spain. Gates Notes presents Boston Metals in Massachusetts that is working on a carbon-free steelmaking process as well. The conventional process to make steel is a chemical reaction. A blast of air goes in and passes over a form of carbon and converts it to a carbon monoxide gas. That gas reduces the iron oxide to iron by taking away its oxygen. In the process, carbon monoxide gains in oxygen and becomes CO2. Instead, Boston Metals uses a process called molten oxide electrolysis. It uses electricity instead of carbon from coal. The passage of an electric current causes the iron oxide to decompose, leaving liquid iron. The process only emits oxygen, no CO2. Boston Metals is on a path to make the green steel better, cleaner, and cheaper. GAF Energy's solar roof shingles. GAF Energy has reportedly installed several thousand integrated solar roofs. That's more than Tesla Energy, despite its ambitious promises. GAF Energy President Martin DeBono believes his company's photovoltaic roof shingle positions GAF well to solarize millions of residential roofs. He believes that the technology is going to change roofing, that there will be disruption. He compares solar shingles to traditional mounting of solar panels. Solar panels installed on racking, secured by drilling through the roof and trying to hit a rafter. The GAF Energy product, in contrast, is installed just like any other shingle would be in order to create a waterproof barrier. It's nailable. GAF developed the product thinking like a roofing company, not a solar company. It's a roofing product that just happens to have solar capabilities. The roofing business is 20 times larger than the rooftop solar business. It's well positioned to get into solar big time. Last year, there were about 500,000 solar installations in the United States, while more than 5 million new roofs are installed on U.S. homes each year. There's a huge untapped market out there. GAF commands a 25% share of the U.S. roofing market and thus has the advantage of low customer acquisition costs for solar systems. GAF Energy's parent company is Standard Industries, ranked number 65 on Forbes' list of America's largest private companies. Standard Industries owns both GAF Energy and its sister company, GAF, one of the world's largest roofing companies. GAF manufactures asphalt shingles, as well as roofing materials, such as thermoplastic polyolefin, TPO, polyvinyl chloride, PVC, and underlayments. Its new 50 megawatt capacity, 112,000 square foot manufacturing facility in San Jose, California, is producing these shingles. Each 45 watt shingle is 60 inches long and 16 inches tall. The shingles use monocrystalline solar cells built to meet roofing product standards. They are designed to be submerged in water to withstand hail. The shingles also have Class A fire rating. GAF makes the electrical connections of its shingles easy by placing the electronics and wiring on the top side of the shingles. Roofers install the tiles. GAF comes in later to hook up the strings, combiners, and arrays. Ubiquitous Energy's solar windows. We'll be able to make floor to glass ceiling. We can turn skyscrapers into vertical solar farms, said Ubiquitous Energy CEO Susan Stone. Ubiquitous, a startup, has now received a major investment for the technology from a major window manufacturer. The Anderson Corporation, a leading window and door company, analyzed the technology and notes that while there are competing solar window technologies under development, most have trade-offs in transparency, color, viewing area obstruction, haze, or energy efficiency, not acceptable to consumers. They have to look indistinguishable from normal windows, said Stone. Ubiquitous Energy makes a clear coating for windows that uses semiconducting materials to convert sunlight into electricity. The coating is just nanometers thick, and tiny wires connect the solar to electrical systems where the energy is used. So far, Ubiquitous Energy has raised $70 million for its technology, including a recent $30 million round anchored by Anderson. Ubiquitous Energy anticipates that it will be manufacturing at scale by 2024. The Ubiquitous Energy windows are 30% more expensive than traditional windows. While traditional panels are about 22% efficient, the Ubiquitous windows are only 10%. But its developers note that these windows enable a surface that wasn't generating electricity to do so, creating another productive use, shifting window glass from passive to active. Embodied carbon in buildings. There are two types of carbon associated with buildings: operational carbon and embodied carbon. Operational is the carbon related to the fuels that keep the building running. Embodied carbon is the energy used to build the building. How much carbon did it take to make the steel, the concrete? Embodied carbon refers to the total impact of all human-induced greenhouse gases emitted from material extraction through the end of its useful life. Building operations and construction are responsible for approximately 39% of global greenhouse gas emissions. More than a fourth of those are embodied carbon emissions. Those associated with the production of building materials and construction activities. Most of these emissions are the result of steel and cement manufacturing. Aluminum, glass, and insulation manufacturing are secondary contributors. The New Buildings Institute has recently released a report, Life Cycle GHG Impacts in Building Codes. It finds that as operational carbon emissions are reduced through efficient building codes and a cleaner power system, embodied carbon will become a larger part of a building's total carbon emissions. In fact, embodied carbon may be responsible for nearly half of total new construction emissions between now and 2050. That certainly gives code developers food for thought. Just as we are successful in reducing operational emissions, can we also reduce embodied carbon emissions? 10 design commandments for how architects can achieve cost-effective emissions reductions. Design for 60 years plus, nothing short-term. Avoid sites requiring deep foundations and expensive soil stabilization. Consider structural options. Would a lighter or timber frame work? Specify low-carbon materials. Optimize building shape. Use thinner floor slabs, etc. The list goes on. Clearly, there are potent solutions for building decarbonization of embodied carbon.